Welcome to another episode of Let's Discuss It podcast. I'm sitting here with a really, really good musician. I want to say musician because I love, and anybody who knows me knows I love music. And anybody who's ever kept up with the history of, you know, when I was younger to what I'm doing now to the people I'm associated with and everybody that I know. And really, honestly, if you think about it, at the other podcast with Jamie, with all the management talk that she does and the music and everything that's going on, like I had this, you know, name drop fell right into my lap. And I was able to really, really understand how much I really, really like this kind of music. His name is Caleb Seth, and he's sitting here with me now. We're going to have a good discussion about music. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
So tell me this. You're from my hometown, and it's crazy to me because the person who told me about you really, really was adamant about me listening to you. And it was, I mean, I'm talking like days. Like, hey, did you hear that song? I got receipts. Hey, did you hear that song? Hey, did you hear that song? And I'm like,
yeah.
What song? Because normally we can agree that sometimes music can be oversaturated with a bunch of, I mean, back in the day, if you were an artist, and even if you were a local artist, normally you wouldn't get heard about unless you made a big song or you got in touch with like a bigger artist than you that gave you the exposure. So when I think of like rappers and R&B singers and country singers and, you know, all this other stuff that, you know, bands that we have in here in West Tennessee, like, It sometimes it's not, you can't keep up with everything because there's new musicians popping up every day. But when I hear about you and then I go back and I look into you and I listen to your music, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with the music. I love music. So just hearing your music, how did you start out in music? What age were you?
I used to be playing piano. That's where it started, probably when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. I started playing a few songs here and there. And then I really got interested in singing soon after that because I was like, man, if I can play, man, maybe I could sing, you know? So I started working on my vocals, playing guitar. And then by the time I was probably like 16 or 17, I started writing songs.
When you talk about playing music and you're talking about playing guitar, line, those are some instruments a lot of people don't normally jump into unless you want to be what they consider the whole package.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you play the, whether it's the drums, the guitar, the piano, or mainly the piano and guitar is really the keys. I mean, if you can know those two things, you can be a great songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
So was there any inspiration from like a family member? Like, did anybody push you?
Yes. Yeah, so I had a cousin that played keys a little bit, and he grew up in church playing keys. Mm-hmm. So one day he just brought a $20 keyboard to me. He said he got it off Craigslist and he wanted to give it to me. So I was just all for it. I was like, I mean, I'm into music. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have, you know, the resources to get a piano or get a keyboard or anything, but he just handed it to me. From then on, I never stopped. One day.
Well, do you think that, you know, when you sit here and you talk about, like, resources, I think everybody and any musician who starts out, especially if you're from a small town, even people who are in big towns but who have talent but don't really have the resources to, like, really say, damn, I can really do this, but I can't pay for studio time. Or I can really play guitar, but I can't write music. Like, there's all these, there could be a disadvantage to everything. When you come from a small town and you're listening to the fact that you're really engaging into this music, were you ever, like, discouraged in any way that maybe I can do this, but is it really enough to, like, really pursue it?
Yeah, there was a lot of times where I didn't know what to do. I really wanted to do music, but I know it was hard. And there was a moment before I started getting studio time and stuff where I never even thought about being an artist. I just enjoyed playing. Yeah. I just enjoyed playing and singing. There was nothing else to it. And then somebody came up to me and was like, you should come in the studio with me. And then from then on out, my mind got set on it. And when my mind got set on it, I couldn't stop. I just wanted to go.
Was it the creativity that you think drove you? Because you say you play piano, but you play songs. Were they, like, known songs, or were you creating your own songs as you were playing piano?
So I would learn basic songs at first, do basic covers, and then I couldn't help it. I couldn't help myself. Next thing you know, I just started writing. Right. It's not something that I just woke up one day and I want to write. I just sat down one day and it just started coming to me.
Yeah. You know? Do you ever feel like, do you use your life experiences? Do you have, like, is there any way that maybe you grew up and maybe this was like something that you felt like was a distraction for your, like, normal day-to-day life? Like, did you grow up in like an environment that you felt like you were not really like, I mean, I'm sure you were probably into sports or something like that, but like this was like almost a way out and a way to kind of ventilate your own space here.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, speaking of, like, I love sports, but when I got home, the first thing I wanted to do was play music. That's right. The first thing. I would play for 6 hours after getting home from school all night, you know, until I had to go to bed at least.
Did you ever, like, you ever bother your parents with all the music playing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bother my parents, my sister, all of them. I'd be waking up in the morning singing and stuff. They'd be getting mad at me. I'm like, no. I'm like, don't get mad. I'm just trying to practice.
But yeah, and that's the thing, though. No vocal coach, right? Just all self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught.
And that is so crazy because when I'm telling you, when there's a point in the song, and I really wish I would have timestamped it, and I was beating myself up literally probably about 5 minutes ago when I was thinking about it when we were just kind of chatting. And there was this one part of the song that you hit a really, really difficult note. And I'm like, and then you just, you hit the note, you hit that really difficult note and you were still going into the song. Like it was obviously planned. You've done it and you recorded it and you just went, you carried on with it. And I was just like, to be so nonchalant and kind of humble about how your vocal range is completely impeccable to me. So when you do your music, right, and you're starting to become creative and you're writing your own music, what do you think your inspiration was?
I think, so all the artists that I've ever listened to, I think I just have a combination of all those people, mm-hmm. and it just comes out without trying. So, like, if I listen to country or pop or R&B, for example, I'll just take elements from each, like, you know, subconsciously, I guess you could say, and it just comes to me. I don't really think about it, you know.
What music did you grow up on?
So, I grew up on, like pop and R&B mainly when I first started, because I was a big Michael Jackson fan, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then when I started to become a teenager and stuff, I really got into country heavy. So I had all those elements just kind of, that's why I still, like, you listen to my music now, you'll hear that, that R&B element to it. It's just naturally in me, even when I do country, you know, so.
Well, the younger generation now, or even when you listen to country now, you got the Morgan Wallens, you got the Bailey Zimmermans, you got all these people doing, like, Post Malone. You have all these people who you would consider at this time country singers at this point. Not really Posty, but the rest of them. And when they add the hip-hop element to it, they still consider it country, even though it's a hip-hop element. It really is a crossover. But it's really, for the younger generation, like, you couldn't put that on a George Strait song. You couldn't put that on an Alan Jackson song, Garth Brooks. You just, that was not the era that you're in. So the era that you're in now, you're, like, you're doing really good as far as, like, really keeping up with the times. Because I've listened to your music, and not every one of them have that. You keep your songs so sonically great with not cluttering it with so much song, like so many sounds. Like, you can see how people overproduce, and I think overproducing is so, unless you're really like trying, but you have to pick and choose. Even if you have a sound that's in the background, you have to be really careful on how loud it could be, because it could just completely ruin the song.
It could take away from the music. With those songs, like West Tennessee, for example, that's a real stripped down song, mm-hmm. so I'm okay with, because I play piano, I'm okay with just acoustic songs, and then I take it to, you know, producer, and they, you know, get after it. They get it right, you know?
Yeah. And when you do the producing, right, when you do when you create the music for the song that you're writing, are these songs pre-written or do you write them after you create the actual sounds?
So most of the time I just sit down at the piano and I start writing songs, and then I'll take it to a producer I know, and then we'll go from there. But I usually have it fully written, you know, and I'll just take it to them and we'll just take it to the next level.
Do you do it based off of, like, what you're going through presently, or do you base it off other people's experiences, or are you like, you know what, there's a song that I haven't written yet that I feel like people nowadays could relate. So I'm, with being a creative, and a lot of people who do music will tell you, sometimes you just need to look an event or even see something for a couple of minutes and have a whole song complete. Like, you will fabricate a whole story in your head.
Oh yeah.
And not even realize that you're, like, gonna make something so relatable that people can understand it.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, because I just really, it's not necessarily any life experience that I've went through. Most of the time it's really not. It's just a feeling that I catch in the moment. And if I put myself in somebody else's shoes, and I'm like, okay, how would they feel? How would somebody feel about going to the bar, you know, locking eyes on a Friday night, for example, you know. So, like, I just picture that in my head, and I just put it on. I just put it down, you know.
And that's crazy to me that to put yourself, when, especially when you're a songwriter, it's to make relatable music. If you're a lyricist, sometimes people just write music but don't actually do singing, production. They're just great lyricists, and they're great songwriters, and they pass it off to people that they think would do a good job. To have the skill set to play piano, you know, self-teach yourself vocal range and learn how to sing, and then you're talking about guitar, and then you're writing music. So it's like a triple threat on everything. So just hearing you in the mindset of saying, well, I'm putting myself in a situation that what if I was in the bar and I saw this girl from across the way and we blocked eyes three times? Like, how can I, like, you can equate that, like, you can already hear music in your head. Like, how can I make this into a song?
Yeah, like, and some of it, I guess, is real life experience without me acknowledging it when I'm writing. It's just because I've been in situations where I'm at the bar or whatever, I'm drinking, then I'll lock eyes with somebody, and I do it, but I don't think about it when I'm writing. I just feel like I'm stepping outside of myself when I write, and I'm just letting it come to me.
What song touches you the most that you've written? Whether maybe you haven't put it out yet or anything, but like, is there a song that you've done so far that you're like, man, like, this song, I'm always going to remember where I was sitting at in the studio when I wrote this and saying this, because this really means something to me?
I would say I like them all. I mean, they all have a different, you know, place in my heart, you could say. But West Tennessee, because that's where it all started when I wanted to. I was like, you know, I want to start pushing my solo career. And I sat down at the piano and wrote that song in like 20 minutes.
Right.
So, like, I still remember the exact moment I was in. I was on the phone with my buddy, and I was just like, man, I want to write a song about West Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He was like, man, you should do it. So next thing you know, they started coming to me. We locked eyes on a Friday night, all that stuff, just 20 minutes.
And it's crazy because some people will really call, they're people who do music, especially production producers. Now, it used to be where when someone say, like when you hear a Paul McCartney say, well, I wrote that song in 10 minutes, or I wrote this song in this, or I've done that and I made that beat in 20 minutes. People really do underestimate creativity when it comes to being in the state of mind. Like it's just like, it's a whole energy shift, and you're like, I'm stuck on this and I'm not going to stop until this is done. And realistically, a lot of the great music that's ever been written in history are done in less than 30 minutes. They all say it, you know?
Yeah, it's so quick. It's because it's natural. When it should go quick, when it's all natural, when you're not trying, it should just come to you. I'm a big believer in that. I don't force the song. I do not force it. I just let it come to me.
Do you ever feel like maybe people may try to sway you into a different direction with your music?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, because I've done everything. Like, if you go through, I got over 400 songs unreleased, styles, different genres, all that stuff. And I've had people like, oh, man, maybe you should do R&B, or maybe you should just go rock, because I like rock. But I felt the best, and I'm the happiest where I'm at in the country scene. That's my favorite.
I think the country space is such a very untapped source of, you know, recognition that people really, you know, if you really look at it, I mean, you grew up in Crockett. I mean, how many rappers did you hear about from Crockett? Let's be realistic here.
Yeah, that's
there's a lot of them. And I'm never taking it away from anybody who's extremely talented, which I've seen talent, but I've also seen, like, they tend to die off because that's an oversaturation too. Because, I mean, how often are you going to keep doing music? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be, like, I'm going to be 36. I would not see myself rapping at 36, you know what I'm saying?
I feel that, yeah.
So, I mean, it's weird because you talk about, I sit here and talk about the hip-hop scene because they treat them like football players who's been in the league for 5 years. They teach them like they're legends, or, you know, they've been there so long and they're old heads and stuff like that. But in country, it's like there is no age limit.
Oh yeah, you can
to great music.
Yeah, you can be in your 40s, 50s, 60s and writing country hits and be in the industry. Yeah.
So when you decide on a song, so I've noticed that when you put it on YouTube, you picked five specific songs that you've released, right? That I've seen. Why those five out of 400?
Yeah, I guess because the other 400 are a mix between everything. And when I decided I wanted to do the pop country route, I was like, okay, so what songs do I have in this element? And those songs stood out. So a few of them are co-written, and then most of them I wrote by myself. But yeah, so a few of them I wrote with some guys in Nashville, super good writers. Mm-hmm. Just took it to the next level for me.
Do you take that as a learning? Do you take criticism well when it comes to your writing? Because, I mean, any songwriter and any musician, they're going to encounter these moments in life that, not really saying like someone's coming in to do it better than you, but they've been doing it so long, they can fill in these empty gaps that your song to give it that extra edge. You know what I'm saying? So do you ever come into that point, or do you just see things as a life lesson?
Oh, I'm telling you, I have no ego when it comes to going in the studio. When somebody's like, maybe we should try this, I keep my mind open, because you never know. And I've written with some really good people, and yeah, I have some ideas shut down, or we might shut their idea down. It's just, you just have to have, like, you have to be open to letting it all just flow, yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, even with this, all right, so how old are you?
26.
So you're 26, and you've been doing music, like really like pushing really your career.
I'd say, like, when I was done with college, and probably, like, I didn't graduate because I wanted to pursue music, so right. I just left. But right. So I'd say probably like 2020, I was like, oh, okay,
so 2021. Really, so about 3.5-4 years, well, you know.
I've always been into the music, but as far as really pushing my career, I'd say 2022, where I was just like, okay, I'm going to push it. So it's only really less than 2 years that I've really been pushing. It's been doing all right. I've been trying to pick it up, so.
Well, I think what it is, and it's funny because, like I say about the person that told me about you, completely, I mean, I'm talking like middle of nowhere, just kind of, I'm talking about a whole other thing, and we're talking about the podcast that I had done a few weeks ago, and she was like, oh, you should listen to this guy. And I'm just like, okay. And so if that doesn't tell you something, that your music's actually like really reaching people, and this is people like in my age, so it's like, you got people my age listening to you and recommending you to other people, which is crazy to me because a lot of times you don't really see that when people generate people to local good talent, you know? When you're 26, you're doing music. Are you in a relationship?
I'm not. I've been.
Situationship?
A few situationships here and there. But I'm more the kind of guy, like, I'm married to the music. I gotta be cliche. I gotta say it like that.
Well, I mean, and even that's not a bad, that's really not a bad commitment if you think about it. I completely understand. If you really think about it, a lot of artists, when they start really focusing on their career, you do hear about, like, people who tried to like who was dating them in the beginning, and they kind of just wrapped themselves into the music, and then later on become successful because the legwork is put in on the front end, and you receive the back end when you've reached success, right? So you don't ever I know you say like not in a relationship or whatever. I mean, you're not really. I don't guess you're focused on women, but do you ever use that or any experiences you have with women to do your music?
Of course, yeah. I think that that's one of the biggest driving forces because everybody writes about love and. Mm. But I've been in a relationship here or there when I was in college, whatever. But when I decided that I really wanted to pursue the music, I was like, I need to focus on this and this only. Not saying that I haven't, you know, indulged here or there and stuff like that. It's just I need to focus on my main goal, you know, my priorities. And that's where I'm at with my life. I'm not against it. You know, if it came along, I would take it. And maybe if it was what I wanted, I'd take it. But I'm focused on this, you know.
And it's crazy because, like, can you really give somebody the you know, because when you get in a relationship, people used to say all the time, and I had someone tell me this literally a while back, a long time ago. They were like, and this was when I was in a headspace that I didn't want a relationship. And I was like, look, I can't give you what you want. The time that I'm giving you now, like, this is it. Like, this is all I can offer you. And so, like, when you have the title of girlfriend and boyfriend, there's expectations to that title. And with you, like, can you, even if you wanted to, could you really commit to what a relationship was calling for?
That's what I've talked to my buddies about this. I feel like it would be unfair to the girl I'm with, because I'm going to be mainly focused on my craft, honestly. I'm going to be straight up honest. I'm going to put that first. You know, if it came to the point where you were my fiance or I was about to marry you or something, yeah, then things would be a little different. But I put the music first. And it's, but the thing about dating too, now that I'm getting a little bit more known around, you know, so it's a little bit harder, because now I feel like the people who reach out are, you know, they want to.
They're not, what is it? They're more doing it for the attention or just not, I don't even call it clout. They're doing it for the recognition. I could be possibly hanging out with him. Yeah. Or, you know, this right here could spark up. Or, oh, yeah, I used to talk to him. Yeah, you know, it's more for the hearsay of it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of my questions would have been, like, how do you really, if you were going to set into a relationship, how do you really gauge who's really there with it? Like, who's really there for you instead of what's coming? You know what I'm saying?
It's hard to do. It's really hard to do, because now a lot of people are like, will say stuff like, oh, remember me when you make it, or all that, you know, stuff. But the best way I can explain it is how they approach from the start, or how I approach and how they react to all that. If they're, you can just tell, I don't know if I can just sniff it out or whatever. I can just tell if she's just trying to be there for the, you know, clout or whatever.
Yeah. And that's gotta be kind of, you know, hard to gauge too, because then what happens when you feel like you don't really have real people with you, even like with your close friends? Like, I know you're coming into music, and if you really look at people, you know, who's gone through the ranks of music and they're close friends from childhood, like, there's some that really stick with it because they're actually there for them and not for what they can get from them. But their circle stays extremely small because the trust there, it's really leveraged on, can I trust you to be there for my best interest? And are you really here for me instead of what you can gain from me? So do you think, like, as you're pursuing your career, that maybe, you know, having a relationship or love will be somewhere in the latter?
Oh yeah, for sure. Eventually. I definitely want, you know, I'm four years away from 30 now. It was my birthday yesterday. So I'm not opposed. I'll have some kids running around one day or something like that. Yeah,
I got three. Do I look like I've rested in 14 years? My oldest son is 14. I ain't slept in 14 years, I feel like. But I mean,
stressful in it.
And people don't. I just had a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and to see people who have kids who aren't prepared is wild to me.
Oh yeah,
it is such a responsibility. It's cute to sit there and be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm 9 months, and you know, we'll do this. But then, you know, there's some real responsibilities behind it. And I think when you are able going to be focused, I think it's because you know that your career is going to be solid, and so you can part a little bit of that focus towards family, which I think, you know, I know music is important, but, you know, also family is too.
Yeah, that's why I want to be fully prepared before I have kids. You know, I want to have everything locked in. I want to have my career fully established, solidified, everything like that.
Well, be careful who you have kids with too. God forbid.
Yeah, that is, that's.
that's it. Listen, man, I have seen some shiesty, shady things, and I mean, these, and I get it, ain't just females, it's males too, man. I see people. That's one thing, like, I have Facebook, right? But it's because of this podcast I have it, because I didn't have it for like almost 2 years. But I get on there, and it's such a buzzkill to my life because it's so negative, dude.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
nobody on there that just wants to be happy for people. It's always somebody, right? If I see a long post, I don't even read it. I just, like, book a first-class ticket to the comments because they're going to tell me what I need to know.
Oh, yeah. You'll see the truth in the comments for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, and then there's always that back and forth, and it's just, like, it's crazy to me. And it's just, and it's men and women, you know? But, like, that's why I'm saying, like, unless you truly have intentions on really sticking it out, having kids with people just had to be a very, very careful choice. Especially now, like, if years from now, and things are where you want it to be, you worked extremely hard, you're the one in the studio, you know, not your future wife or whatever, or, you know, mother of your children, you're the one in the studio, you're doing all the legwork, the hard work. Do you really want people to unintentionally benefit off you later because you had kids with the wrong person?
Yeah, you know, yeah, just trying to, I guess, what they call it, mooch off you?
Yeah, they mooch off you. Yeah, I mean, like, people do it all the time. Look, men and women. I mean, I've seen people get married, be married for a certain amount of years and leave them, and then they get entitled to half of whatever they have for years.
That's
like alimony.
Crazy to me, man. Yeah, that's
that in the child support system is wild.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And you know, people, it's one of those things. Like, you don't ever want to stick that and add that stress to your, you know, what already you have on your plate. So when it comes to music and you know, you're on the local scene, there's a lot of local artists around here. Is there any local artists around here that you thought about working with?
Yeah, there's a couple people I know around here. There's a guy named Hunter Jordan. Mm-hmm. He's a real good guy. He's got some really good music, and we've been talking about writing together and stuff like that. We're probably going to set that up soon. We're actually doing a performance at Slide and Ride.
Yeah.
They're hosting a writer's round. Have you ever been to a writer's round or heard about a writer's round?
So I've been to Slide and Ride twice.
Okay.
And it was for a friend's birthday, and I was there for 20 minutes and I left. And then another time, I can't remember, it was just a really offhand night. I didn't have anything going on. I didn't have a podcast to do. I didn't have my kids. I had the day off, and I just felt like going with my friends. And I tell you one thing I've realized, like, that would have been fun for me at 25. I would have really enjoyed a place like that.
Yeah.
Now I'm just kind of like, what am I here for? Like, I'm not here to hit up anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely here, and like, they're thinking, what do they think about me? You know, so I overthink, and I think that could be a downfall. But yeah, I've seen what Slide and Ride can, you know, what they do and some of the events and the bull riding and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the thing about this riders round, this is actually the first time they're doing it at Slide and Ride. You know, that's usually a Nashville thing. Mm-hmm. A few country artists will get up on stage, and they'll just sing a couple of their songs. One person will go, then you pass it to the next, and you do a couple of rounds of that. And that's basically what they're going to be doing on April 12th. And it's going to be the first time, so I'm glad I'm being a part of it, you know.
You said April 12th?
April 12th on Friday.
Oh, that's my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be 36 there, man.
Oh, wow. Man.
I might actually have to come out and see that.
Yeah, bro.
Because I don't think I've ever, we used to have, I used to see people like Skylar Anderson. There was somebody that I knew who used to do music. His name was Skylar. I don't know if he still does. But Skylar Anderson used to perform a lot at Redbones and just stuff like that. And I don't mind that kind of, just watching something live. But I love seeing, talent, and especially out-of-town talent. Now, have you been traveling a lot to Nashville and performing there?
Yeah, so I've done a few little shows there, whatever you want to call it. And I've mainly just been in the studio filming, meeting a lot of people, man, just honestly living the dream, honestly, if you want to say. I've just been having a good time and doing what I love, you know.
Well, as far as Nashville now, Nashville's a very cutthroat city. You know, you're talking about a lot of people with a lot of talent that either have a lot of talent but don't have the work ethic, or don't have the work ethic, and vice versa, you know.
Exactly.
And so you're in a city where the guy next to you could be on the same level as you but don't work like you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and don't go to studio sessions, who can go out on the street and play his piano on Broadway, play his guitar on Broadway and be like amazing. But then you're like, you got a CD? Nah, man, I don't do all that.
Yeah.
You know, but in my head, I'm like, but you'll do this. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know their worth, really. There's so much you can do. And that's what I always decided to myself when I was younger. I'm like, I'm going to do what I want. I want to do what I love. I don't want anything to stop me or hold me back, because I don't want to look back and be like, I didn't go for that. Yeah. I had those abilities. I had that talent. I had it all going. I didn't do it. You know,
I think just by the people that I've ever, through the course of producing when I was younger and doing stuff like that, and people I've talked to, I have a really good friend who did a lot of work with Soulja Boy in the beginning, where they actually got him famous, and actually he produced a lot for him, and he's a good friend of mine. And then there's a rapper named Chrome that was with 3-6 Mafia that's a really good friend of mine. And so just seeing how they weren't able to see things ahead of time the way you did. Even now you're like, because then opportunities were coming to them. Like, they were just they're handing them bagged of opportunity. Like, oh, they were able to turn things away. But I feel like you're more like saying, if this is going to be an opportunity, I want to really capitalize off this opportunity to get known. Cause I want to say that the attention span of people nowadays is so short. Because you can have a great song and it'll stay popping for a week, and then people will just, they need something else.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree, man. That's been my thing, though. I really don't care what people think. I'm going to do what I want to do. I've always stood by that because, you don't know me personally. I mean, so I'm not going to let your judgment of me, you know, take away from what I want to really do.
What's the harshest criticism you've gotten since you started doing music?
I guess.
Just it's something that really touched you.
It's like a criticism, like a constructive or
no,
just...
No, definitely not constructive.
Man, I've heard some stuff like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people want to do the Kane Brown comparison. And then they want to say, like, I'm a knockoff Kane Brown or something. I'm like, come on,
dude,
man.
You do not sound like Kane Brown.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we sound completely different.
Yeah, no, you have a whole – this is – and I'm assuming that there are people that that you kind of know, like, you know, and, like, they're in your range.
Yeah.
But I saw Kane Brown come from nothing to where he is now. And I'm telling you, you sound nothing like him. Like you have a whole different wave. Like I'm not even exaggerating when I say when I called this person, I told him, I said, "Bro, did you listen to these songs?" And she was like, "Yeah." Like this is my favorite one here. And I'm just like, "But did you listen to the other one?" She was like, "No, hold on." And I sent her the ones that I like. And she was like, "It's like every one of these is different." Like, it's great.
Different vibes.
Like, I mean, to me, it's just like, it's a whole different, I can put all five of those songs on that I was listening to and like, no skipping, just straight play. And it'll every one of them is a vibe, like it's a vibe for me. Yeah. And to me, if you're sonically pleasing to the ear, like people are gonna rock with you.
Oh yeah.
And so when I sit here and I listen to things like that, and I wondered like, do people really try to, I don't want to say people hate on you, but like, have you gotten that kind of?
Yeah, I feel like some people, they don't say it directly to my face. I've never heard any hate directly to my face, I'll be honest. I've heard some online stuff, and yeah, just word of mouth, or like somebody's like, oh, he was saying that your music's not good or something. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter to me because I'm going to keep doing my thing. You know?
And do you use that as like, I want to be cliche with that either, but people, you're not using that for like... inspiration. You're just more like, you know what, he's entitled to his opinion. This is where I'm at in my music, and this is what I like, and that's what I'm doing.
Exactly. I'll take it out in the gym, or I'll like use that for motivation, you could say, to write more songs and to push myself harder.
Yeah,
because I mean, you don't know me, you know, like you don't know what I'm really capable of, so you keep judging. It's, you know, I'll prove it to you.
Well, do you feel like people underestimate your story a little bit?
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people really know my story, but it wasn't easy. And that's what, I know a lot of people in the game, in the country music game, in the music industry in general, well, maybe not the hip-hop scene as much, but because they usually come from zero a lot of the time, but in the country scene, a lot of these guys don't really come from zero. They already have...
some type of establishment.
They have some establishment. Maybe they come from money, or maybe they just had opportunities. Maybe their parents just knew somebody. I came from zero, nothing, the mud, you know, straight out of, like, I'm adopted. A lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah,
you know?
I honestly wouldn't have guessed. And I think it's just the way you carry yourself in your music and how you carry your, like, just how you carry your whole, like, just your whole demeanor itself. Like, your composure is really, like, it's really on something that I was, like, I admired because I, you know, I looked at your page and I kind of just, before I do an interview, I try to feel people out because sometimes people try to, they often let you know who they are just by, you know, whether they share something, how they react to people, how they respond to people. You really see a lot of character. And being that we're obviously from the same city, do you want to elaborate a little bit on the story? Because I mean, I know it could be relatable, but only because I'm generally interested in what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I'm from a big family, but you know, my parents kind of, they fell off, you know what I mean? They were very addicted to, you know, drugs and stuff, so we didn't have it easy. They would spend all our money, wouldn't have anything for years. Eventually, and they were abusive too.
Yeah.
But eventually, the foster care system just came and grabbed us up one day. So I was in foster care for years. So up until I was about 8, nothing was consistent in my life. It was just, you're going from home to home.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, who genuinely really don't care about you that much. They're just kind of, maybe some of these people are just trying to get a check. You get mistreated here, you know. So I just tried to, like, when I was, you know, I got adopted when I was like 7 or 8. So when I got adopted, pretty much everything after that changed. Like it was looking up, you know, we didn't have it all, you know. It was still a little rough for us because my aunt ended up adopting us, and she, you know, she's not financially just, you know, the greatest, which is cool with me. I like how we grew up. I'm glad I didn't get, I got everything I needed, not everything I wanted, but it was just what I wanted, honestly. So. Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. I mean, just in our town, like that's, it's probably a little more common than you think about growing up like low income. I mean, I grew up extremely low income. I talked about it on every podcast. I actually brought my parents on a few years ago when I started the podcast, and I asked them stuff like, you know, I was like, hey, like, why was it like this? Like, why, you know, I asked my dad, like, why weren't you ever like, you didn't come home and like, hey, come here, I love you, or, you know, give me a hug or not. Like, he wasn't an affectionate person. Like, he just, that wasn't him.
Yeah.
Extremely quiet and just worked, came home, relaxed, went to sleep. Like, and my mom was more the enforcer, the disciplinary. And so I was always kind of scared that I was going to pass that demeanor on. And, you know, my dad used to drink a lot when I was younger. And my mom smoked like a freight train. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I was always saying, like, I was always scared that I was going to have like an addictive personality because they did.
Yeah.
And that's why when I was 18, I know I wasn't supposed to be doing this stuff, but, you know, I quit smoking weed and I quit drinking. And I haven't done it since I was 18 because I was scared. Like, I was really scared that I didn't want to end up like that. And, you know, when I have my kids, I had my first kid when I turned 21. My kid till this day, he's 14. He has never seen me smoke, and he's never seen me drink, and no one in my life drinks or smokes around them ever. You know, because I want to show them, like, hey, you can not do this and still be like, you don't have to do this for anybody. You know,
man, that's
this,
respect, man.
Yeah, it's just because that story. Like, I grew up with, like, when Kmart was around, like, I grew up with Kmart shoes. I had hand-me-down clothes. Like, I had school system buying.
Same. Same, man.
Why do you think I'm overcompensating here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you see this wall here. But that's, and I told, my mom said something to me about that the other day, and she was up here, and she was like, man, you don't even wear it. I'm like, dude, when you get bullied every day because you have Spaldings on, like.
Yeah, man.
Dude, like, do you have any idea what that feels? And here's the thing. They did their best, and that's what. That's why I don't hold resentment.
Same with my aunt. I knew she did her best, did everything she could.
So. Yeah, and it's just crazy because those stories are so common. And I honestly think that, and I think that's why you remain grounded, because you do know where it came from. Like, some people don't. They have it a lot easier. I know somebody right now whose dad is a good friend of mine who's got a daughter who's been singing since she was like maybe 10 or something. And I actually interviewed her on my last podcast. I mean, my podcast a few years ago. And she's doing recording sessions in Nashville. She's got a lot of big connections now, but he tapped her into that because he worked hard to tap her into that.
Yeah.
That's not her fault. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's, she's just doing what she got handed to her, which is, again, that's not her fault. That's just a benefit for that situation. And then you have you who's came from, you know, a low income raising, you got an abusive parent, they're on drugs, you're an orphan, and then you grow up and you're pursuing music, and like, look how far you've come.
Yeah, man, it's unbelievable, honestly. Like, the love and respect I get now is still, it's crazy to me. And I know this is only the beginning. I know it's only the start, and it's a little overwhelming sometimes because I'm like, man, people really like what I do.
Yeah, you know? And it's crazy because it's crazy. I saw a picture on there, and, you know, some girl took a picture with you, and she's like, I met Caleb, or I don't know where y'all were. I guess y'all were eating somewhere. And you can just see the genuine, happiness of, like, meeting someone they really wanted to meet.
Oh, yeah.
Does that surreal to you now, like, even now?
Yeah, just, like, I'll go somewhere in Jackson, or I'll go Slide and Ride, for example, or I was at Texas Roadhouse. I think I know which photo you're talking about. And they're like, they'll point at me or be like, he looks familiar. And they're like, oh, no, like, can I get a photo or something like that? It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, now I'm just like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Like,
and that's the crazy. And just being extremely humble and very, I mean, you see celebrities who aren't like that. And then you see people who are, and you see, like, you get a better outcome. And then on top of that, can you imagine, like, that girl is probably going around, like, you know, putting your music onto other people without you even knowing. And so you're growing fan base just off of being a considerate person, you know, and just, you know, they always used to say, don't meet people you look up to.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what I've always said that I think would be a lot of people's downfall. When you deal with situations like being noticed and stuff like that, yeah, I know you say it could be overwhelming. Do you handle pressure well when it comes to that?
I'd say I used to do. When I was younger, like teenager, 14, 15, 16, I wasn't really good under pressure. I don't know if just over the years I've developed a sense to be able to hold myself strong and you know, in situations that you might feel uncomfortable in, is just because, I guess, reps, experience, I don't know. I can just do it now. I'd say I'm pretty good under pressure.
Yeah. And do you carry yourself with, like, a composure of saying, like, no matter where I go, like, I'm going to maintain the humble state of mind and just know where I came from? Because sometimes people lose – sometimes they're grounded, but then they lose that over time because they're, like – they realize they're talented. Oh, and there's nothing wrong with appreciating your talent, but you also have to remember that it's these people who admire you that put you there.
Oh, yeah. I just still feel like if I'm going to be honest with you, man, I feel like I don't have any talent. Like, I just do what I love, and I don't never think to myself, like, I'm super talented. I never do. I'm just like, man, so many other people are talented. They could do what I'm doing, but I'm just pushing myself.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, and even then, even with you thinking that, I think you downplay talent because I feel like you always really still want to grow, even with creativity. Because if you realize that you peaked, like, what do you feel like you need to do after that? You know, where you're like, oh, well, I've done this already. Like, and that's usually how it kind of turns out. Like, people are like, well, I know I'm good, but, like, I've done this already. But if you always say, you know what, I think I'm talented, but I think I could do more, that's how you see the longevity of people. Like, that's how they stay relevant. And even with, like, you, like, with your songwriting and everything, and, you know, just everything that you have done so far, like the lyrics, and I want to show you this specific lyric, and I want you to kind of explain this to me where your head was at.
Okay.
Because this is, like, one, I have had this on repeat.
Okay.
Probably since I was told about you. So, the song is called Slow. And I'm going to play a part for you, and I just want you to kind of tell me where you were at mentally on this.
All right.
They love so fast, they say no when you know, and I know it. I can tell you built up your walls, but what's it going to take for them to fall? She said, take my time, take all my plans, take the long way home, and when you take my hand, no, don't you let it go. Before we take this thing too far, take it easy, I've got scars. Baby, if I let you take my heart and take it slow.
You're telling me that's not talent? Lord have mercy.
Man,
you're telling me that's not talent?
Man, dude, that song still gets me. But I think with that song, so I'll be honest, so that's mainly the genius ideas from an artist named Dylan Brady, a songwriter, and a guy named David J. You should check them out because they're big guys and they're super talented. So I was with them when we did this, or with David at least. And so a lot of that I didn't even come up with, honestly. I'll be straight up about it. Like,
right.
That would, to take my time, take all my plans, all that. I just kind of, I knew it was special. And when I heard it, I was like, okay, I could record this. But I got to give them their credit. That was mainly them.
Do they give you, like, where they feel like how you should say it and like, in a way to sing it? Do they say, because, you know, people have reference tracks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So do they say, hey, do it like, you know?
So I heard, so we had a little demo made, and I took it to the studio with a guy named, he goes by Mick V. He's a pretty nice producer. He can do anything, man. Super talented guy. And I took it to him, and he was down to record it, produce it and stuff, so I just sang it. You know, we went through the song. I sang it. I didn't really think, like, oh, I need to sing it like this. Nobody told me you need to sing it. I just sang it like that.
You sang it as if it was coming through you?
Yeah, yeah. I just felt it. I let those lyrics speak to me because those lyrics hit, you know. So
do you
just
listen to the music before, like, you lip sync it to yourself before you actually sing it? Or do you kind of go in prepared to know that how this is going to turn out?
Like, I guess I practice a little bit depending on the song and how hard it is maybe in my head, because some songs might be a little bit more difficult than others to sing. So I'll like practice it a little bit. But other than that, I really don't. I'll just go to the studio and lay it down. Honestly, right. I just let it flow.
Dude, when I say that that song resonated with me, because when you say, you know, let your walls down, I'll let mine down. I mean, you know, you know, take it slow. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, it's a deep song. That's,
it's super deep, and it cuts the cores of people, because depression is such a real thing nowadays. And you have people who go through things in relationships. It could be something as small as a non-communication. It could be something something so small as a misunderstanding, and they will listen to that and completely become enabled on saying, damn, like, I feel this. You know what I'm saying? And like, and I know you're crediting great writers. And honestly, that is a very noble thing to do. A lot of people would just say, yeah, you know what, man, I went into the studio and I said this, but like crediting writers early on and crediting where the creativity came from, that is such a noble act from somebody so young. That, and it's just like, even just hearing it, 'cause like normally nobody gives away credit.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that you're like, hey, I'm just going to be honest with you, man, like this, like that shows a lot of character. And what comes character when you have talent and then you have good music and creativity, like you're going to, I mean, there's just no limits anymore. And I really feel like if this is what you're doing now and you feel, and I know it's like a subconscious thing, but if you, this is what the music you're making now and you feel like you don't have that kind of talent, like imagine what you are going to do when you feel like you do.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure, man. It's because I'm, at a sense, I guess I'm modest enough to admit to myself, like, okay, I need to practice more. I could play piano a little bit better. I could play the guitar a little bit better. I could work on my vocals more. So I'm always thinking about those kind of things. So I never fully give myself that credit. I can never do it. It's like I'm content but not satisfied, you know?
Are you afraid of failure?
I mean, yeah. I'll be honest. Like, because when you really love something, you don't want to let it go. You really don't want to let it go. So I never want to let the music go. But I'm confident enough to say that I know I'm going to work hard and not going to stop. So there should be zero failure, because as long as I'm not stopping, I didn't give up. And that's all I need.
And sometimes I feel like, even if like you downplay, like even sometimes, and it's not just music for anybody. Let's say you know someone who's extremely smart, has a great career, has a good head on their shoulder, successful in their career, like their job or something, and they're downplay their hard work and their ethics. Sometimes it's okay to say, damn, I just don't want to let myself down, you know? And so I take the Eminem route, which is I'm going to make myself feel bad so nobody else can make me feel bad.
Oh yeah. 8 Mile.
Yeah. I mean, to be for real, like, who can hurt you when you know that you can be harder on yourself than anybody?
Yeah.
When it comes to things that you grew up with, and I know we've talked about your parents, and you breached through, and I can completely understand why, but do you ever feel like you've ever forgave them for what happened to you early on as a kid?
So, my dad, for sure. My mom, it's a little iffy, because I don't really, I might have talked to her like 3 times in 15 years, you know what I mean? So, my dad, he definitely got better, started coming around more, and you know, I can respect him, but my mom, it's hard for me to understand how she did us. You know, at least my dad, you know, talked about it and came back and wanted to, you know, make things better.
Yeah, like rebuild.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so hard to hear that mothers are the ones that are. Even when, I can just hear it in your voice, like when you say, I can't understand why she did that. Because it's not easy for your mind to comprehend. Because when you think of mother, you think of loving. When you think of nurturing, you think of mother. And so when you think of that, you're like, damn, how did she do this to me? Like, us, you know? And
yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of hard for your brain to really capitalize on that. Like, just imagine, it's sometimes some things are so unreal to see. Like, I don't ever want to see a baby coffin. Like, I don't want to see stuff like that because my mind can't resonate that. Like, I don't want to comprehend what that is.
Yeah.
So I rather just not know what that is. You know, I hear about it. And so when I hear that, you know, your dad, you know, got his life together in sorts, I don't know him, but like got enough to come around, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to the point where he's shown enough effort for you to at least forgive him, and your mom still doesn't. Do you feel like you'll ever be able to let that go?
I mean, I feel like I already let it go, but there's still that part of me that knows, that understands what she did was something that I could never do. Yeah. You know, there's that part of me that I'm like, how could she do that? I'd never do that.
Like, if disappointed a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just a little disappointed, but I don't, you know, no animosity. I'm chill. Like, I don't really, she can do whatever she wants. I really don't. At this point, my ego is completely out of it. I just want her to be happy. Go do you. You know what I mean? That's kind
of
where I'm at.
Do you ever wonder, with the success of your music and everything that's going on, that that might be a possibility of a pop-up eventually in your life?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I've definitely thought about it. Yeah, she would be the type to do that, too. I hate to say it, but yeah. No, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet at this point.
Well, it's same thing. I mean, speaking of Eminem, his mom did that. You know, wrote a book about him, all kinds of stuff. You know, just saying the worst, but still run to them. Mm-hmm. For anything, like, as if they're entitled to be completely disrespectful, but then still have the entitlement and the mentality that they are owed something because of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like the hardship that you went through at such a young age, and especially in a small town where it's extremely judgmental. Alamo is one of those places that you really got to know people. I mean, you know the family.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not oblivious to the people who live there that there is key families there.
Oh, yeah.
That there's no matter what happens, they wouldn't be treated like we were, you know?
And the status runs crooked.
And it does. And I think every small town is pretty much a status, you know, type of thing. And it's like, who do you know type stuff. Like, I've seen people get out of tickets, and I've seen people get out of court case. I've seen so much stuff in a small town, because honestly, who amplifies it? You know, who amplifies, hey, this is wrong, you know? Because I grew up seeing things that I'm like, how did he get away with that?
yeah, it happens.
You know? And do you ever feel any kind of hate from Crockett?
No, man. Honestly, like, okay, before the music started doing well, I mean, there was no hate, but I feel like people didn't give me any respect with the music, because I've been doing it for a while. There was some love here or there. You know, I did some school stuff back in high school. I get some love here or there, but nobody ever really fully gave me the credit, I guess. But when I started pushing the solo career, I noticed there was a shift in how people started treating me around Crockett. But look, I know they didn't know about me. So I have no ego with it, because I'm like, okay, they're just now finding out about me. Like, I went to the dollar store in Crockett, and some kid came up to me. He was like, are you Caleb Seth? And I was like, yeah. He was like, how come we're just now finding out about you? Mm-hmm. So, like, I know they're oblivious this whole time, because, I mean, how would you know me if I didn't? Yeah. I'm to myself. I keep my circle small. Mm-hmm. So, like, you wouldn't know me. So I just got all love for Crockett.
And it's crazy, because the person who told me about you isn't from Crockett. They just,
really?
No, they're not. And that's what's shocking to me, but know everybody that lives there.
He or she?
It's a she.
Did you tell her that I was coming on?
Yeah, I did. I told her you were coming on. Because I told her, I said, thank you. I said, I reached out, and he agreed to come on. I said, that was a few weeks ago when I reached out. And because she gave me a really good heads up, and I was just like, and I look back and I'm like, there's no way I didn't hear about him. Because I consider myself pretty in tune with people who do music, because I love production. Even the first thing I ever said to you was something about production.
Yeah.
And it was just because, like, I love production. Anybody who knows me would tell you that. And so when she put me on, I was just like, there's no way. And so I kind of I tapped in and I looked and I was like, how?
Like,
I just,
this guy's from Crockett?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like I said, all I've ever heard from Crockett was, like, rappers. Yeah. And that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, I wanted to do something different, man. Like, I always wanted to do my own thing. I'm going to, you know, take my lead and just let the people, if the people like it, they like it. That's kind of what my thing is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just listening to his music, if I didn't see a picture of you, didn't know who you were, and I just listened to this blindly on the radio, like, and didn't know where you were from or whatever, like, I would think that, I mean, this is good production. This is good songwriting and good music. You know, I let a couple of my friends here at work listen to it, because I told them I was going to interview tonight, and they're like, well, let me listen to it. And they listened to it, and I'm like, is this not on TikTok? And I'm like, I haven't even looked on TikTok yet.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's just because people, like, I've seen people with, how do I say this respectfully? I show people, I've seen people with less to offer.
Yeah.
Get more recognition, and that bugs me.
Yeah, yeah. Same with me. Same with me, because when you feel like you have a talent or a certain level of talent, you want it to get appreciated. And when you see somebody else with less skill than you, you know, objectively, you could be like, why am I not there? But yeah, it's all a work thing.
Well, great musicians always get overpassed sometimes. And yeah, it's just because you have these people who don't, and it's just like they're literally fly-by-the-night type stuff. Like, the production's quick. There's no effort in the quality. The music is just kind of blah, and then you just like,
yeah,
this compared to this. Like, what are y'all listening to? I mean, we listen to the same thing.
Yeah.
And but it's because as musicians, we appreciate quality. You know, you wouldn't have put those songs out if they weren't quality. But yeah, I've seen people put out music and it wasn't quality, you know. So it is kind of weird that people, even, I mean, with you being from Crockett and just it getting around and it just be constantly brought up to me where I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll listen to it. And then I listen to it, I'm like, and I haven't been able to look back since, because I am looking forward to the new stuff. So what do you got going on now?
I got, so I've been recording, writing, and I've been working with some pretty good people, and I'm thankful. I work with a pretty good team out of Nashville, and you know, they set up a lot of big things for me. So I just got some shows and stuff coming up soon, some little events here and there, and I got a song coming out. Like, I don't know when it's gonna come out. I'm still promoting a little bit.
Yeah,
one of those kind of things. But it's called Like You Never Left. It's coming probably this April though.
That sounds like a breakup song.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I love a good breakup song. I love it because it's just, boy, you just send that to your ex and you just get them in their feelings, and especially when they know they're wrong. God, I love that.
Oh yeah.
Let's Discuss It podcast. It's gonna be, it's on Spotify, Apple Music. I mean, Apple Podcasts, I apologize. Amazon Music and any Google podcast. You know, that right there alone. Okay. I love where it's at. I can't wait for people to hear it. The links of his YouTube channel will actually be on the podcast post. And I really appreciate y'all listening. And Caleb, thanks again, bro.
Thanks for having me, bro. Appreciate it.